Hi, everybody. It's another show with Angel Coaches, and we have a really special guest on tonight. She's been a friend of mine for a few years. I want to say that, or maybe a few lifetimes, right, Amora? And,
Right.
And this is Amora Williams. I'm going to let her share her story. But I know you're a life coach. There's a host of things that you do. I'm not going to even talk about that right now. But you are who you are, and getting ready to get your PhD in metaphysics, I believe. But you've had to get to the point where you're at, where you're super successful, and you're becoming more successful. Your name is out there, and you work with Indigo Crystal Rainbow Children to develop a new consciousness, they have already got a new consciousness, or children with a new consciousness, and you help adults develop theirs, and you have tools for transformation, and Akashic Records you teach, and a host of other things. But it wasn't always like that for you, Amora. How did you get started? Most of us get started with inspiration or desperation, so I'm assuming that yours was probably out of some lessons that you learned, and you became the great teacher and healer that you are today. So how did you get started?
I would say it was about 50% inspiration and 50% desperation. The inspiration started when I was about 3, when I was having, I guess you would call them psychic experiences. I had clairaudient experiences where I would hear things, I would see things, and then the desperation part came because of the family I was raised into. They weren't really psychically attuned, so my experiences were attributed to bad behavior and nightmares and, you know, the whole host of things that sometimes parents, in their most loving way, do to dissuade your, actions that they can't control or they can't understand.
Right.
So what that led me to do was kind of operate below the radar or undercover. So when I had these experiences, they terrified me, and I just kind of worked my way through them. I blocked a lot of them and then accepted a lot of them. So as I grew, you know, spirit was kind to me. It took away the bulk of it, but every now and again, I would get an experience and it would like tap me on the shoulder, like, we're not gone yet. We're still here. We're just not trying to terrify you. So that was good for me. And as I grew older, the experiences started coming back more and more as I accepted them and I opened to them. And now I'm at the point where it's like a second skin. I love it. It feels good. It's where I was always meant to be. And I guess now that I've got on my big girl pants, I can handle it.
That's good. Yeah, a lot of us are putting on our big girl pants. It's a whole new age here. Let me ask you a question, Amora. I know that life has thrown you some curveballs, or you know, or you've learned some lessons. And to get to the point in your life, how did you get to where you're? How did you say this is great? You're a life coach, a consciousness facilitator, teacher, and healer, and a channel. How did you get to that point? I mean, from you got married, had kids, and did you start doing this, you know, out of the blue, or did you get a dream, or did you just know this is what you were supposed to do? How did that happen?
Well, throughout my life, I kind of knew it was what I was supposed to do. I was still in the blocking phase because I really didn't understand it. I would say that my greatest epiphany started happening after I had my children, because I believe that my creative and psychic channels opened up. The real breakthrough came when I lost about 165 pounds, and that would be my husband. So
there you go, right? That's the desperation there, but the inspiration too. I gotcha. Correct. So you lost, yeah, wow.
Correct. So when after that happened, I was more accepting of myself, and I was just more willing to take the risk with spirit, because I realized that all through my life, spirit never failed me. It never let me down. So to get to the point where I am now, I started listening. I started listening to my heart. I went through these periods, and I still do what I call my vibrational excursions. In my maturity, I learned that those were astral projections. So I was spontaneously projecting, but I call them my excursions. And during my excursions, I got a lot of teaching. I got a lot of love. That's where the name Amora came from. It was given to me during one of my excursions. I had
wow.
a lot of dreams about what I would be doing, and it just felt right. So when I came back from the excursions, it was easier and easier for me to accept that, okay, I can do this. This is where I want to be. This is where I'm supposed to be.
Wow, that's amazing. So you started astral traveling, and did you know it was astral traveling, or did you have any idea, or how did you figure that out? Did the angels talk to you? Did guides, or, you know?
Well, it was kind of, when it started happening, no, I did not know what it was. The first time it happened, like if you ever seen the Frankenstein movies where they have that Teslatron in the back, the machine that has the sparks and it kind of goes up and goes.
Yeah, there you go. I've seen that. Yeah. I got a joke about that. But anyway, go.
So. Yeah, that's what it would feel like to me. And it would just keep going until it got to a crescendo. And then I would pop somewhere. And when I popped somewhere, it was always loving. It always felt right. Sometimes there were people there. Sometimes it was just amazing scenery, absolutely amazing scenery. So
wow.
I started getting used to that. I found out that I wasn't supposed to resist it. The first time I resisted, it felt like I was 2 inches tall and I was under a faucet that was turned full on. So that rush of energy was so powerful for me that I forced myself out of that experience. And let me tell you, that's a lesson you only learn. You only have to learn once, because once I forced myself out of that experience, I felt like I ran into a brick wall. So that was my lesson. Let us do this. We're going to do this. It's not for you to force yourself out of it. So as the experiences kept coming, I became more and more comfortable. I learned more and more. I learned more and more about frequency. I learned more and more about energy. I learned more and more about feeling frequency and feeling energy. I get clairvoyant hits. Most of my expertise is in the frequency and energy field. I feel the vibration. I feel the situation. I feel the person. And I'm at a point now where I'm able to radiate that vibration back. It's always a high vibration. It's always a loving vibration. And when I do that in the course of my coaching, what it does is it opens a gateway for the people that I'm working with to reflect their own energy back to them, and it helps them open up more naturally.
That's cool. So I like that. So you're saying that you learned how to vibrate, which is frequency and vibration, which is all about the law of attraction. So you took it, I want to go back a little bit. You and your husband divorced. You looked at yourself and go, okay, I want to work in metaphysics. I want to work with spirit, do spiritual work. And you started astral traveling, but you had the intention to do the work, to learn as much as you could. And then you started astral traveling. Your angels and your guides, your higher power took you different places and helped you change your vibration. Is that right? That's cool.
Correct.
Though. Wow.
Correct. Not only did they help me change my vibration, I was allowed to accept my vibration, because as I understood what was happening to me, I realized that this was phenomena that was happening to me my entire life. I just, two things that were happening. I didn't know what it was. And not only did I not know what it was, I did not know that everybody else wasn't doing it also. Because as a child and something happens to you that, like for me, it was so frequent, I just assumed everybody else vibrated. And because of some of my experiences, being younger and being ridiculed, I never vocalized it. So I'm just assuming everybody vibrated like I did. And then in the course of my travels, I was taught and I was shown, no, they don't.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's cool. So I had that same experience when I was a child. You know, I thought everyone could see angels and people that crossed over, but they can't. You know, so you learn to shut down and be quiet, and then you're getting those nudges from spirit, and that's what happened to you. And your mission right now, your mission is to coach and teach people about how to raise their vibration, expand their awareness, Is that what you're doing? And you learned, I know that you're studying here on this planet, but you also, it feels like, I may be wrong, but I don't think so, that you were also guided through some sort of learning on the other side as well, right?
Correct, 100% right. So what I feel right now is to being a, the phrase that I like is consciousness facilitator. And in the course of being a consciousness facilitator, everybody wakes up in their own space and their own time, but they'll be around certain people that act as an energetic key for them, that will, something they'll say, just their energy that they'll give off will help elicit the aha moment from them. So what I do is I place myself deliberately in the path of being the aha moment for someone. And a lot of times it's not conscious. I can be in a crowd of people and walk past somebody and I will feel my body radiate. I will feel my body vibrate. And all I do is smile because I know there's someone around me that's tapping into the energy for their own expansion, their own enlightenment, and for their own joy. And that gives me such a thrill to read. Such a thrill.
Yeah. I'm going to bet you, because I remember the first time you told me about that and I figured out really what it was. And that's a cool thing, because most of us feel that if we're spiritual, you know, in our spirituality, we need to be talking or, you know, or sharing or doing readings or doing coaching. But, you know, every experience with a person is an energy exchange, right? So what kind of exchange are you sending out? That's cool. I like that. Is that true? That's what you're saying.
Yeah, that's right? Very true. And one of the things that in this shift, what's called the shift of consciousness, one of the things that's happening too is we're going back more to our beingness, where it's not so much what you have to do, it's your, it's how you be, incorrectly speaking, but it's just your rate of being, your state of being is the vibration that affects people. No, you don't have to open your mouth and you don't have to say a word. And in regard to your developing spirituality, what I like to say, and it gives me great comfort, is spirituality is not what you do, it's who you are. Being human is what you do. So when you understand that spirit is what you are, then the beingness of spirit automatically radiates through you. It's our doing of the humanness that cuts off our spiritual connection, because we feel we have to do to be spiritual, when all we have to do to be spiritual is just be.
Okay, I'm gonna, I agree with you on that, but there are people that are listening or you know, and you and I both have talked to folks like this, and myself included. I know that there's been days I've had challenging days. So just be, and someone's saying, well, I'm upset about my relationship. And I want to talk about that as well as a Crystal Indigo Rainbow Children. I want to talk about my relationship, or I'm upset about my relationship. What do I do? Be in that? Or I'm upset because whatever reason, I don't have a great job, or I want a job, or I want more money. And so how do you work with people like that? How do you help them shift their consciousness, or consciousness facilitator that you are? How do you work with them? Or do you work with them? Or do they just say, okay, they got to feel it, be it, and then process it and work through it? And if they do, how do you teach them how to do that? Or be that, sorry. Be that, right? It's probably...
Right, be that, know. Right. The first thing is going to be a shift in mentality, because when you shift your mentality, then the frequency flows, even though the frequency is there prior to the mental shift. But because we're in a limited dimension, third dimension, we're going to go through the mental shift first. So what I would do is, okay, you're upset with your relationship. You're being upset with your relationship. Number one, that upsetness is telling you that you're moving away from your center. So the first thing that I would ask you to consider is that maybe the feeling of being upset is a wake-up call. So if you're upset, you're placing a judgment on the situation. That judgment is going to come from a belief. So if you're upset with your relationship, what is the belief that's trying to tap you on the shoulder and be released? are you feeling, and this is just not a personal statement, I'm just making, you know, I'm asking blanket questions. Are you feeling insecure in the relationship? Are you feeling inadequate in the relationship? Are you feeling jealous in the relationship? Are you feeling controlling in the relationship? When you ask yourself, why is your energy telling you that you're moving off center? That's the first step to moving back towards center and finding peace in any relationship. Because when you find peace in a relationship, then you see your lessons, then you have the growth, then you start to experience the self-love that the relationship is there to teach you in the first place. Relationships are there to reflect to you what's ready to be healed or what's ready to be celebrated.
That's cool. I like that. Which ready to be healed or what's ready to be celebrated. So you're saying, let me get this straight. You're saying when you're feeling some kind of discomfort or you're not happy or you're angry or you're sad or whatever, then it's the energy or spirit saying, hey, it's time for you to wake up and smell the coffee and look at this relationship. Does it really work for you anymore? Is that what you're saying?
Correct. 100% correct. And not only when it asks you to do that, to say, I wouldn't say it's not working for you anymore. I would say it's working at its fullest potential for you. And when it's working at its fullest potential for you, you're feeling it the strongest. So then you go back to say, well, what am I truly feeling? What is my fear here? What is my angst here? What is my joy here? Because every person that you meet and enter into a relationship with will cause you to have a relationship. Because that person is in front of you mirroring something in you that I said is ready to be healed or ready to be celebrated. So in essence, every person you encounter and engage with on any level has a piece of your soul that they're handing back to you. So when you start looking at relationships from the point that what gift is this person presenting to me or vice versa, what gift am I presenting to them? Then your relationships blossom. They're no longer controlling. They're no longer possessive. They mutually radiate the spirit that's encompassed between both of you.
I like that. Now I have a question for you, okay? And I have thoughts about this. Do you believe in romantic relationships?
Do I?
As a teacher, as a healer, do you believe in romantic? Okay.
I do, because for me, and I'm a romantic woman, card-carrying member, because for me...
I like to say your dance card is not full, okay, right?
It'll take eternity to fill this one up.
I gotcha.
For me, a romantic relationship is like the song of the soul. Love is the harmony of the soul, but when you start singing it, it causes you movement. So romance is the actual inherent movement of the harmony of the soul. So yes, I love romantic relationships. And I understand that in a romantic relationship, that's that moving vibration between the two of you that's doing the energetic dance. There's no possessiveness in it. There's no jealousy in it. It's just like that picture. Remember with Snoopy, when you see him dancing, he has like a bunch of little feet. He's just up and dancing.
That's
the harmony of the dance of the soul in relationships. It's just pure bliss. As long as we don't bring our baggage to it, our expectations to it, it's just enjoy it like a kid with an ice cream cone on a sunny day. Just enjoy it.
I like that. Okay, so I'm going to go back to this because I have tons of clients and I know you do as well. And by the way, I know you're extremely psychic and I like how you get hits, how you get it. That's cool. But yeah, right? And you go, just enjoy it. Be in the moment, right? And so I know there's a lot of people, men and women, but I think women do this a little bit more than men. Women, when they start dating someone, they look at them and they go, okay, let me go pick out, is he the one for me? Does he like me? I get calls about that all the time. Is he into me? Will he ask me out again? Do you think he'll marry me? And I go, what date is this? Third date? You know, meanwhile, the dude is like, he's just like enjoying the moment, or the guy is enjoying the moment with girl. Do you understand what I'm saying? So how do you handle, how do you tell someone to be in a relationship and not relationship to the wedding without the enjoyment of the dance, as you say? That's a good point. That's great.
So one of the things I would probably, and depending on the consciousness of the person I'm talking to, and since I'm talking to you, I'm going to jump way back here. I'm going to jump 2 feet in. So what I would do is, we've talked about cellular memory. We've talked about muscular memory. Here I'm going to talk about DNA memory. So here, basically for females, we're responding to energetic past life remembrances. And when I say energetic past life remembrances, it's because in early history, women were married by 12, 13, 14 for the preservation of the species. So when you have in that urge, you don't know why you got to marry this guy, you just got to do it. That's that DNA cellular memory coming back to you. So one of the things I would say is, just breathe, feel it, feel that connection, try to identify exactly what it is and ride the
connection. Ride the wave.
Okay. Ride the wave. You don't have to respond to it, just ride it. Because at that particular point in time, that's that energy that's ready to move on and be evolved. So when you hang on to it and ride it like a bucking bronco, you don't give it a chance to evolve. It stays right where it is, comes to the same crescendo, and stays there. So ride the wave.
Because this is the second time you and I talked about this a little bit this morning, and then I talked to you about it with, this is the third time today this has come up with me. Not per se, but okay. Because I'm getting really clear, and I know there's other people out there that are listening, are wondering the same thing. Cellular memory. We carry, and people don't understand that. I feel you're right on about that. That we carry the DNA of our ancestors, correct? And our great great grandma, great great grandpa, whatever, maybe 100 generations back, because we're a soul family and we travel together, which is a whole nother story. But so we carry that women serve men, right? Because in the Bible, They did that, in the Christian Bible and the Torah and Muslim Bible, that's what is taught. Women, serve your man. I'm not saying that's a right or wrong thing, but so we still carry that vibration in our DNA. Is that what you're saying? I want to be super clear with that.
Okay. Being super clear, it's not about serving a man.
That's where we came from. Like we
I beg to differ for a minute. Just bear with me for a minute, okay?
Okay.
So it's not about serving the man. It's about responding to cultural training. Because in some aspects, cultural training was marry your daughter off at 12 and 13 to preserve the species, not necessarily for servitude. It was for the preservation of the species.
Okay.
So we're talking about two things we're talking about. We're talking about a societal mentality, and then we're also talking about a psychological mentality when you say serve the man. Okay, so
right.
Well,
can I ask you this question though, really quickly? Japanese cultures in the Bible, woman serve your husband. There's a great beautiful things like you said, the Psalms of the soul. So serve your man. Adam, the rib was taken from Adam. And not that I believe in that or I don't, but all I'm asking you is that. Is that in our DNA where we were taught that we needed to, I get you, expand the species, expand humanity, have babies, but also where we, do you think on any level we were taught to, that we were the woman and that as a woman we stood behind our man, but the man was first? Or no, you're telling me you don't think that it was for something different, right? And I accept that. That's cool.
Okay. Now this is why I say, are you ready?
Yes.
Sitting down?
I am. There you go.
You got your seatbelt on?
Yes, I do.
Okay. That is there, but the, you have holy books that are written in a plethora of different ways. They can be interpreted literally, allegorically, metaphorically. Okay? On this particular aspect, in my vibrational field that I'm feeling right now, that was a literal interpretation of a spiritual principle. The spiritual principle was the feminine energy was serving the masculine energy. And I know there's a lot of listeners that are probably jumping out of their chair right now, but bear with me, please. So when I say the feminine energy, not the female, the feminine energy was in service of the masculine energy. It was a paradigm of the energetic culture that we were going through at that time. With the shift in consciousness, you have the feminine vibration coming more to the front. The feminine vibration is compassion. It's unifying. It's harmonious. It's softer. You will see it in males and females. And in this aspect, the masculine vibration, i.e. the mental capacity, will serve the feminine vibration, i.e. the heart. So you will have your mind operating under the direction of your heart, whereas before you had your heart being led by your mind, i.e. the female serves the male. But because of a lot of the spiritual traditions were oral, as we evolved, we got away from the oral tradition. A lot of the information was considered too sacred for the common folk. So what was written down, because the background was not there, the spiritual vibration wasn't there just because of spiritual evolution, it was literally interpreted. So then we went through a period where we were indoctrinated to the literal interpretation. Now, as we evolve, we're becoming more conceptual. We're coming away from the literal interpretation. We're getting to the spirit of the law as opposed to the letter of the law.
I agree with you 100%. And so I want to ask you a couple questions about the new consciousness children. We call them Rainbow Crystal Indigo Kids. But really quickly, we're letting go of that old vibration of, that's what I'm saying, the ancestral vibration of the old and coming into the new. So if we're struggling with relationships and making the relationship shift, it's probably that old vibration, right? Is that you, that's what you're saying? Because I just got a text. Somebody asked me that, to ask you that. Is that true?
Yes, it's true. But we're not, when you look at the shift in consciousness, Tari, we're not getting rid of anything. We're integrating it.
Okay.
And when we're integrating, it's the aspect of, okay, been there, done that, accepted it, learned my lesson, let's move on, as opposed to getting rid of it. Been there, done it, hated it, what's next? Because when you take the been there, done there, hated it, what's next, you actually deny that vibration. And until it's integrated and accepted as part of the whole, then it's going to keep coming back to you.
Well, that's your lessons. I get you. Okay, good, good, good. And I think that answered her question. So it was a woman that texted me, just to let you know. Anyway, thank you, by the way. I'm pretty passionate about stuff like that, so it's good to get your take on it. So, and I appreciate you being so open. You are a consciousness facilitator, and we said a couple different times during the show. So I know you work with children of new consciousness, these indigo, crystal rainbow children. Yeah. What is your, these, I get parents that, I'll give you a story. I have a client, she's also a friend of mine. She and her daughter have been with me for about probably 3 years now. And so she called me the other day and she said, Tari, my daughter is telling me that we all have three eyes. And she goes, and my eye is open and my boyfriend's eye is not. Like the one in the forehead, the third eye. And she goes, well, yeah, she goes, I see, yeah, the third eye. And then she says that she was telling, and then I have another one that was telling me about her, this is another child, was telling me that her dad's father came to her in a wheelchair and said, tell her father that he loves, that his dad, her grandfather, loves him. And she goes, Mommy was in a wheelchair, and they had never told her about him because he died before she came along, and he was in a wheelchair. And so, and she doesn't know how to write, but she wrote that this is the message that he gave me. I love you, XYZ person. You know what I'm saying. I'm just giving you. She wrote it out in cursive handwriting. So this is a kid that's like 4 or 5 years old, all right? And so what do you think about that? Because I get parents that have kids like that all the time. She goes, I want to raise her Catholic. Is she going to be able to be raised Catholic? I said, she's outgrown all of us, okay? I mean, you know, this kid is like automatic writing for a message to her dad from her grandfather who she's never met, and seeing other beings and angels, and telling her mom she's in a new job, and her mom, obviously she's young, and not told her that as well. So what do you think of kids like that, and how do we work with them? Or do we work with them, or how do they work with us? What do you feel?
I like the way you put it the second way. How do they work with us? Number one, the children of the new consciousness are just that. The children of new consciousness, when we incarnated and our parents incarnated, unless you were quote unquote psychically gifted, or, you know, what else was it put it? They had the power to see or vision. Basically, you talked about psychic attributes. Unless you were born on some level with their psychic attributes fully functioning, you're born with what's called a veil. The veil is the limitations between the all that is, the greater collective universe, and your experience on this earth plane. So we came in veiled to a certain extent, not knowing who we are, what we're here to do, and how to go about it, so we can have a pure experience. The children of the new consciousness are coming in less veiled than we are. So the things that we're finding phenomenal and just amazing is they just have less of a veil. Now, as adults, consciousness adults, we'll talk about waking up. Well, I want to wake up. I'm trying to wake up. I'm trying to be enlightened. And that happens as we mature. We go through our experiences. We lift our vibrations by going through our experiences. We evolve. We wake up. The children are coming in at that level already. That's why it's amazing to us. But one thing that's important that I want to say to the adults out there of consciousness children, the people that are teaching consciousness children, the people that are exposed to consciousness children, you have the same abilities as these children. In order for adults to activate these abilities, you just have to accept that you have the ability, because we can take this conversation. It's almost like, how deep the rabbit hole do you want to go? So it's like, listen to them. Sometimes you're still here to give them structure. You're still here to give them guidance, because on the earth plane, yeah, they still have to go through lessons like you do. And sometimes what you perceive to be amazing will also be a challenge in their lesson, how they handle it. So we are here to learn from them, but they are also here to learn from us. For the children that they say have ADD, ADHD, autistic, there's nothing in these children that have to be fixed. There's nothing. It's about establishing a line of communication, because these children are more conceptual, whereas general population is more linear. So it's like showing them a picture, showing them the concept of compassion. They get the concept of compassion. But linearly, we had to be taught that compassion is empathy for someone, not laughing when they fall down, feeling that vibration that says when someone hurts, you want to hug them. Children come in knowing this. So they are open far more sooner than we were. So that's what we're looking at. We're looking at the next evolution of human. And if you think these children are something, wait till you see their children and their children's children. And Tari, you made a point earlier when you said we carry the DNA of our ancestors, our grandmothers, our grandfathers.
Right.
I'd love to have a conversation with you one day when we actually explore who those people are. We are our own grandmothers, grandfathers, ancestors. That's the concept of the old soul. The one that
I agree with you
back.
That. I agree with you on that 100% because when and I'll share this with you because I want to talk to you about you know a couple other things that you know about how we can elevate our consciousness because I know that you're a life coach. That you work really, really diligent with these folks and with the kids and the folks. But I had a friend of mine, and she and I were working together. And when I went back to see my soul family, part of my soul family was some of myself in past lives. Amazing. Okay, you know what I mean? I was like, yeah, that's cool. That's a little bit out there for people, but I gotcha. Yeah, and I'd love to do that and have a show on it too as well. Really quickly, go ahead, please.
I was going to say, while we're out there on a limb, I just want to push you just a little bit further and then we can.
Yeah, please.
Okay. So, right. The faces of your ancestors had your face. Now, when we talk about parenting the children, one of the what do you call it? The Come on. It takes a village to raise a child.
Right.
One of the things that I love about that, Tari, is when we understand what our energy does, our energetic relationship to Mother Earth, every time you have a good vibration, every time you have an epiphany about something, every time anyone consciously evolves, that energy goes to what's called the crystalline grid, the energetic grid around the Earth. So when you have a soul that comes in, if you can imagine it like a soul that doesn't have a body yet, they pass this energetic grid, whatever the energy on that grid affects that soul before they take a body. So when you're evolving, when you're learning, and you want to think of what's this for, it's because in some aspect you are the mother and father to every soul that's being born on the earth. Okay, so every child you see is your child.
That's where you're coming up, and we hear this because most people have a problem. We're all part of the one. Okay, so say that again, what exactly. You said. Okay, so I get it. So say that again, because there's other people that are going to be what? Say that again. So if you don't mind, share that again, please.
Okay, I'll try to change it up a little. When you have a good feeling, you radiate it, you feel good, it just exudes from you.
Right.
That frequency or that vibration that you're exuding actually becomes part of what's called the crystalline grid on the earth, the energetic surrounding, one of the energetic surroundings of the earth, of this dimension, earth dimension. So when you have a soul that's incarnated, if you almost think about it, it's just that the soul is in spirit form, it passes through the earth, almost like passing through, and I'm just using this for an example, almost passing through a piece of cellophane. So it takes the energetic shape of that cellophane in accordance with the DNA, but it takes that shape and then it incarnates into a body. So every positive emotion and negative emotion that you manufacture, that you radiate, it becomes part of that grid. So every soul that incarnates on this planet is technically your child. So when you look at someone and you say, I don't know how they could be like that. I don't know how they could be so mean. I don't think about what you've put out there. Okay.
Wow. Okay.
But the good part of it is look at the children coming in now. They're more articulate. They're more intelligent. They're more happy, they're more harmonious, which means we're doing a good job. We're doing a good job. Now that you're conscious of what your energy can do, we're going to do a phenomenal job. And then it'll be our turn to come back through that film, through that grid, through that plastic, like I just said. And I can't wait. you know, I don't want to leave, but I can't wait till I come back. Because if I vibrate like I'm vibrating now, OMG, I'm going to have a ball.
There you go. There you go. Maybe you won't have to come back. You just go transfer out to the fifth dimension, right? There's thoughts on that too as well. And I'd love to chat with you another time about it. Cool. Okay. So yeah, yeah. So you are talking about these kids, and thank you for explaining the one, because that's a cool way you did that. Another question that I have, if people want to raise their awareness, raise their consciousness, where they can enjoy their life better, because it's all about living with enjoyment, really. I mean, and finding your, you know, connection or realizing your connection, whatever it is that you feel. How do you do that? How do you raise your awareness? Or how did you do it? You know what I mean?
Yes. One of the things that helped me is I realized nothing's broken. I realized I didn't have to be fixed. And I realized one of the biggest bogus paradigms that I had been lovingly spoon-fed was nobody's perfect. And I think that does so much damage psychologically to us, because everybody is perfect, not just in birth, not just in mentality, because everybody comes from a unique aspect of the spark, the one, the creator. So if you're a unique aspect, how can you compare yourself against somebody or something else? Once we stop comparing ourselves to somebody and something else and understand we're unique, we're perfect, we're doing exactly what we're supposed to do, we're learning exactly what we're supposed to learn, then you can't go wrong. You cannot go wrong. The only thing you can do is learn and evolve. When we let perceptions and judgments get in the way, therein is our pain, therein is our suffering. So when I'm coaching someone, basically what I'm doing is I'm tapping into their vibration. I'm feeling what their body, what their energy, what their soul is telling me. What I do is I feel like I amplify it and radiate it back to them. And when I amplify it and radiate it back to them, it's a safe space for them to have their epiphanies, their aha moments. I'm not sharing anything with them that they don't already know. That's why my coaching practice is called Hidden Wisdom Coaching, because it's in you. It's already there. But sometimes you just need to, just like when you get dressed up all fine and fancy, you just need to walk by a mirror to go, yeah. So I love being that mirror. You know,
That's good.
Yeah, I love being that mirror. So when you talk about raising your frequency, raising your vibration, and living in joy, it's about integrating the experiences that you went through, releasing the judgment on them, saying, yeah, it served me well, blessing the situation and letting it go. And then sometimes it takes work with that, because we have paradigm over paradigm over perception over judgments all laid on top of it. But underneath is that diamond in the raw. We just have to shovel the crap off of the diamond. That's all. Doesn't have to be fixed.
You know, that's good what you said. You said you take your energy and what they're sending out, and you send it right back to them. You know, Buddha, that's what they say Buddha did. So that's cool that you learn how to do that. You know what I mean? Good for you. I have a question for you. You channel, and who do you channel? Do you channel more than one, or do you realize you're channeling, or how do you do that? I channel, but I know I'm channeling. You know?
Yes, I channel, and I've learned that I was channeling through the differentiate, being taught the discernment in my vibration. When I channel, I can't sit still. I'm up and I'm walking around and my arms are going and I'm talking. But if I'm channeling for someone else inside, I am like flipping up and down. It's almost orgasmic for me. That's the way it feels. So, but I've learned that it is channeling for me. And as far as who I channel, and this is my, one of my lessons. One of my, a lot of, okay, come on. part of my gift is, except for this particular point, articulation, being able to say something, being able to match frequencies and recognize concepts. So for me, when I channel, Taria, I'm not given a name. And I've asked, well, how come you don't tell me your name? How come I don't know the name? It's because I'm being taught the message is more important than the messenger.
That is so true. Good point.
Yeah. So what I'm being taught is the differentiation between the frequencies that come. I can tell a masculine frequency. I can tell a feminine frequency. I can tell a mature frequency. I can tell a younger frequency. So, and what comes depends on who's asking. And one thing I want to say about channeling, everybody channels. I'm sure there's members of your audience that have been in that situation where they're having tea, or for those of you that have tea, or coffee, or a beer with your buddies, and you say something profound, and they go, where did that come from? That was just channeled. You were tapped into your innate wisdom that rides around with you all the time. It's just that particular moment, you allowed it to come forward. So when you hear about channels, and you hear about intuitive people, you're just as practiced, creative, blessed, and articulate as they are. They have just learned, and you can learn to remove the layers and let it come through. Just let it come through.
Oh, I was reading something, and it was by Rumi, and he says, imagine a life if we could start out in the day without any perceptions from the past, without any judgments, without any recollection of past experiences, just past good or negative past experiences, right? And just be in the moment. What kind of decisions would we make? You know what I mean? So, could you imagine? And is there a way to do that, where we could do that, just forget about them? Maybe just pretending, like you said, that, you know, for one split second, just suspending yourself where you can just say, okay, for this moment in time, I want to enjoy it without any past stuff. Could you imagine the great sex you would have, the great friendships you could enjoy that moment or that day or whatever, as long as you could do that? Wouldn't it be amazing? You know,
and that's about releasing judgment on a situation. That's all it is, because once you release a judgment on a situation, it's integrated. So if it's integrated, you don't have a need to go back to it. You're on to the next experience. So once we start releasing our judgment, we're there.
That's true. I get you. Releasing the judgment. Wow. Okay, I have a couple other questions because we're getting to the end of the time, and I want to make sure that I give your information out. And but you do a lot with, I know, with art and poetry and writing. And do you channel information in your poetry and your writing and your books that you're publishing or getting published?
I do, and that was one of my first lessons in Amora. This is channeled. Because I'll get a hit for poetry. And usually with poetry, there'll be a line will appear in my head. And when I pay attention to the line, the next line comes. So I'll sit down and I'll start writing and it'll start flowing. But then a line will come out that positively electrifies me. You know, so just like when you were little, you say, I was so happy I could have peed my pants. I hit those lines that make me want to pee my pants. So when I go back and read through the poetry, I know the lines that are channeled. When I write, I'll get into this groove where I lose the thought process and I just watch my hand go. And when I'm in the part where I'm just watching my hand go, I know I'm channeling. I like those because it takes the judgment. I'm highly critical of myself. I'm working on that. So When I'm in the channel state, I'm not critical. It just flows. It just flows. It just flows. And I love it. And everybody gets into it. Those Zen moments, those moments of being in the zone at one. Everybody has them. But yeah, it does come through with my art It does come through with my poetry. It comes through in my creative endeavors.
I like that, Amora. I really do. That's cool. You're so, you know, you feel like sometimes I think we think that to do the kind of work that you do, that you need to be wearing a sun, moon, and stars hat, you know what I mean, and being up in the mountains, and you're not. You live a daily life. I know you work with kids, you teach classes, you know, you work with these special children with the consciousness that they've got, the great consciousness, super awareness, but you get up every morning, eat breakfast, say a prayer and a meditation, and then you get started with your day. That's pretty much it, right? You know, you work on your frequencies. Is that right? Is that how you get started, or do you do anything different?
Well, the only thing I do differently is when I get out of bed, I say, I love being the creator. Let's go create something.
That's good. Say that again, because I remember you told me that the other day, and I was hoping you would share it. So anyway, I love being... It's good.
I love being the creator. I love the God in me. Let's go create something.
That's good.
It takes away all limitations out of my head.
That's good. So you really believe that we create everything we experience, right?
Oh, 100%. Because if we believe we're part of the creator, then we are creator beings. The only thing that stops us from being creator beings are those judgments and those perceptions again.
Yeah. That's good. Really, we're getting about 2 minutes left here, and then we'll talk about the call. Let me ask you a question. Akashic Records, can you talk just a second or two on that? Because I want to bring you back and share about Akashic Records. How important are they?
Akashic Records are very important. Basically, what the Akashic Records are the vibratory... directory, history, language of everything that ever was or will be. It's potentiality in motion. When somebody asks you a question about the Akashic Records, it just points you in a certain direction. When someone asks you an open-ended question about the Akashic Records, they're not asking you to predict. What you're doing is you're sharing with them the highest probability, the highest potential, not a prediction. Because you, as the creator that you are, at any time can change what was said. And it's as simple as making a choice.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah.
Making a choice. Let me ask you one more question, then I want you to share your website, and then I will have to close the call. Do you feel that we all each have an Akashic Record?
Absolutely.
Okay. Absolutely.
And just quickly, we talked about the DNA before. Part of the Akashic Record, so many things, so many ways I can go with this. Let me calm down. Okay, I have to sit myself down right now. When we talked about the DNA before, the DNA contains all the potentialities of the Akashic Record. The Akashic Record is also the energy field that surrounds you. So it's within and it is without. Everyone has an Akashic Record. Everyone has the opportunity to pick and choose potentialities. And of those potentialities, those that you've lived before become part of the soup for what can be. Yes, everyone has a record. Everything has a record.
Mm-hmm. That is amazing. Now, really quickly, because we're getting to the end of time here for our show, what is your website? I know your website's under construction, and we chatted about that today. I know you just got your logo, which you want. Congratulations on that. But what is a way that people can reach out to you if they want to talk to you, a session with you, do your workshops? Because I know you've got super workshop settings, explore and embrace all the things that we've been talking about tonight. And I've had some people have complimented them on the past that I know of. So share with everybody a way that they can get in touch with you. And I know you've got a newsletter that you're doing too. I just got that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You. I love you too, Amora.
Okay, as far as email, I can be contacted at Amora's Light, AMORAHSLIGHT, Amora's Light @gmail.com. And while my website is under construction, I have a Facebook page. The Facebook page is called Hidden Wisdom coaching.
Hidden Wisdom Coaching.
Right. So if you go to Facebook, you know, it's facebook.com/ Hidden Wisdom Coaching, but there's no spaces between Hidden Wisdom or Coaching. So that'll give you, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, people need to go on there to hit a like if they liked your show tonight, and you can get on our newsletter with that, our emailer. But it's probably pretty important to go onto your Facebook page and hit a like and just say, hey, put me on your newsletter list. And anyway, so thank you, Amora. We have a lot of things planned for Angel Coaches. If you go to angelcoaches.org, got a great new website. It is amazing. I know that Marquise Davis, he put it together. He is super great with that. ElmSolutions.com is his website or his business name. And we have a manifesting call every Tuesday night. It is powerful. If any of you guys that are listening want to have, something that you can enjoy to manifest different aspects of your life, go to my website, angelcoaches.org, and send an email to me, and we'll give you the number. It's free. It's a teleconferencing. So you can sit there and drink some tea or coffee, like you were saying, or have a beer with you. And listen, Ann, it doesn't really matter. Just show up. That's 80% of anything. Take care, everybody. Right. Say good night, everybody.
Good night. Thank you.